Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. My name is Abraham Hamilton III. I'm the host of this program, joined by the Corner contingent right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa. And in the screening room, producer extraordinaire, often imitated, never duplicated, not successfully, that is, anyway. The real J Mac, ladies and gentlemen, and we are ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to remind you to do so with intentionality, understanding the primacy that God places on family and welcoming that primacy to govern, guide, and guard your engagement. And I mean that with every ounce of sincerity I can convey to you, that we will never out politic, out vote, out Supreme Court precedent, out social media, out you name it. We'll never out any of that stuff, the deficiencies that abound in the home that persist through the family. The family is God's first institution for a reason. For a reason. Much of what has transpired in our society is the byproduct of the assault that the family has suffered. And that's just the reality. That is the case. And if we would welcome the Lord to grasp us, to grasp a hold of us in particular in our families, in our homes, there's no question as to what could happen in society. Because before there was ever a modern iteration of civil government, before there was a New Testament church, the first institution that God established was the family, with marriage at the center. And there are lots of things that are happening. So many things happen in the country. I'm encouraged by the America 250 Bible reading investment. America Reads the Bible. I'm greatly encouraged by that. But I pray that that is accompanied by a sincere grasping of what is in the scripture. Because I'm gravely concerned that the witness of authentic Christ following has been so diluted, so submerged. I was talking to a friend of mine today, you know, and as I'm reading the scripture in my personal devotions, I'm studying the book of Judges. And right at the very beginning of the book, you have Caleb's nephew, Othniel, who serves as a judge. He is faithful in serving Yahweh. And then the scripture says that there was 40 years of peace following Othniel's service. Then you have Ehud, a next judge who serves the Lord because the Israelites had succumbed to a Moabite oppression because they had turned away from following Yahweh. And then following Ehud, there were 80 years of peace, 80 years. And so I'm looking at that. I'm saying, Lord, that's 120 years. Two judges. I'm looking at our nation's history. We're celebrating the 250th anniversary of our Declaration of Independence. The point I'm getting to is it ain't been that long. It hasn't been that long. If you plot our nation on a map, you know, kind of like old school transparency. Y'all remember that in school? You had the transparencies, had a little light on. You had to put the transparency on the thing. Y'all know what I'm talking about? If you overlay the transparencies with our nation atop the book of Judges, man, we're good four judges in tops. It hasn't been that long, but look at what's happened in such a short amount of time. We've gone from, as I've been talking about lately, you know, The recognition of nature and nature's God in our declaration and these truths that we hold as being self-evident, that all men are created equal, being endowed by our Creator with inalienable rights. We've gone from, you know, our Constitutional Convention, when Benjamin Franklin interrupts it to make a motion for prayer and warns that, man, when we were afraid while we were fighting Great Britain, we prayed every day in this house. And now that we'll be able to deliberate as to what we're going to be in peace, have we forgotten our divine friend? And we've gone from that in 1787. So now we're talking about transgender bathrooms, you know, genital mutilation for children. A state says we're going to protect our children from this craziness. You have people say, no, you can't protect minors from these mutilation surgeries. And we can't resolve the matter. So we have to take it all the way to the Supreme Court. I'm saying, man, the whole head is sick, is what I'm saying. And I love my nation. This is the greatest nation in the history of mankind. I say that completely without any hesitation whatsoever. And while at the exact same time, I will say that our nation has lost, we've lost our way. And my concern is that there are lots of people who recognize certain aspects of that. I think that the 2024 election cycle was an indication of that. People saying, what? We got a woman talking about using taxpayer dollars to do transgender surgeries on prisoners? What? I think people recognize that the rest, something's off in the recipe, but I don't think we're ready to acknowledge what exactly is off in the recipe. We cannot enjoy the blessings of God and sidestep God's way. And I think that the elephant in the room, so to speak, is that I feel like we want to sidestep the necessary ingredients of confession and repentance. With that, to the word of God we go. Ezra chapter 9 is where I want to go this evening. Ezra chapter 9. And by way of reminder, certainly the books of Ezra and Nehemiah should be read together. This is a post-exilic book, meaning that it's a writing for the Jewish people following their return to Israel after the Babylonian conquest and exile, which became the Medo-Persian subjugation. It became the Persians. And the book of Ezra begins with a recognition that Ezra is writing and chronicling events that occurred in the first year of the reign of Cyrus as the king of Persia. The book is dated at about 458 BC. And Ezra was a priest who had to re-instruct lots of God's word to his people. And you come to near the very end of the book, and Ezra finds that even though these are people returning to Jerusalem, returning to Judah, following exile, knowing full well why they were exiled, he nevertheless found the post-exilic Jewish people returning to their abominations, returning to compromise. And Ezra was grieved, overwhelmingly grieved. With that, we turn to the 9th chapter of the book of Ezra. The 6th verse is where I am going to start reading. I'm sorry, the 4th verse. I think I point to 6th, but the 4th verse. And I'm going to read all the way through the 6th verse. And this is what Ezra said. And he's praying, actually. Then all who trembled at the words of God, words of the God of Israel, because of the faithlessness of the returned exiles, gathered around me, this is Ezra talking, gathered around me while I sat appalled until the evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice, I rose from my fasting with my garment and my cloak torn and fell upon my knees and spread out my hands to the Lord my God, saying, oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift my face to you, my God, for our iniquities have risen above our heads, and our guilt has mounted up to the heavens. Ezra goes on in this book to detail with specificity all of the areas of sinfulness that he is grieved concerning and lays it before the Lord in prayer. And when you read this text, as I'm reading it, it's almost like there's a tightening in my chest because I'm gripped, because I can sense Ezra's grief as he's writing, because he's writing from a posture like, guys, don't y'all realize the stuff y'all are doing now is the very reason why we were exiled from here in the first place? This is why I expressed the concern that I expressed. And this was toward President Trump, but this is not limited to him. Because when you follow the horrendous display during the Passion Week, with what Paula White did, and then you follow that with the picture and all of this other kind of stuff, and I'm saying, man, this is presenting a stark reality for me. Bible Basics 101, God opposes the proud. We can't afford to be an enemy of God. And one of the things, as I'm considering our own nation and praying for our nation, and I believe a lot of people recognize, man, some stuff is just not right. Things are off. And people want to see some changes, but I don't think we are quite at the point where we're ready to face the necessary confession and repentance. Guys, our sin has risen above our heads. We've gone from a society to where, you know, in our society, chastity was an expectation. Even when you had people doing things that were wrong, and they knew they were wrong, and wanted to keep them secret at a minimum. Now, we have young ladies talking about body counts. Young ladies. We have young men who've been feminized. You know, there's a scourge. I mean, it could be the internet. Maybe people didn't know about it. But I know I'm reading story after story after story of school teachers, females, that are sleeping with their students. And I'm saying, this is overwhelming. Pornography is a booming business. I've pointed out the stats before that more money is generated in pornography in this country than the top sports leagues in our country combined. You see how gripped our nation is with NFL football? Well, you combine the revenue for NFL football and Major League Baseball and National Basketball Association, and you just begin to reach what's happened with pornography in our country. I was listening to my friends, the Addisons podcast, and they had a clip of a pastor using imagery from the Playboy Bunny to advertise for a Resurrection Sunday service. Guys, we will not experience God's blessing by sidestepping the necessity of repentance. So what I'm saying, I'm encouraged by America Reads the Bible. Praise God for that. God's word is his holy word. But I'm praying also that our citizen will be gripped by it. I have a story in my stack, and I've been talking about this before. I just had some data to support it, showing their polls that are affirming the trend that many of us have seen. Young men are turning to faith in higher numbers than anybody else in our society, reversing long trend lines of declining. But our young men are diverging from our young women. How you have a society when the young men have a value system that is far and contrasted to the value system of the young women? The young men have a value system that is contrasted from the young women. How are you going to have a society built and established in that fashion? Young men are clamoring for purpose. But as they are clamoring for purpose, are they being met by a robust disciple-making church that can arm them with the truth of God's word and direct them in the appropriate manner and in appropriate fashion? Guys, we need to be like Ezra. The people of God in our nation need to be like Ezra. And I pray the Lord would aid us with establishing the appropriate amount of sobriety and gravity that the moment calls for.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
A big part of the Christian life is listening to God. We listen to God by reading and meditating on His Word. We listen by His Spirit because, yes, God speaks to all of His children every day. Sometimes what you think is a passing thought through your mind may be the Holy Spirit speaking to you, giving you guidance, insight, or wisdom about a matter. Now, by no means am I saying that every passing thought in your mind is the Holy Spirit. Not at all. But often, what you might think is a passing thought is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Write down thoughts, ideas, or insights that just come to your mind that you think maybe that's God speaking to you. The more you're looking for God to speak to you, the more He will speak to you. Being deliberate about listening for the voice of God is very important. And remember, you can always hear the voice of God through His Word. Spend more time reading the Word of God, and the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life will get louder and louder and louder.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. Man, so much is happening. I'm sure many of you saw the horrendous story in Shreveport, Louisiana, where this guy murdered his own children. And his wife was critically injured. Man, it's grieving and gripping to hear that and to learn something so tragic. And it underscores, in my view, the reality, the desperation that we should have in terms of seeking the Lord for our country. Man, we need God in our country so desperately. A reminder to Virginians that you are voting tomorrow. Tomorrow on, you want to talk about a bait and switch. Didn't those Spanbergers say, hey, I'm not thinking about redrawing the electoral maps in Virginia. No way. We're not doing that. And, oh, what do you know? We have a new measure before the Virginians concerning, what is that? Yeah, redrawn state lines, redrawn congressional map lines. Isn't that something? Which is why I think this is important. Today, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, who's actually from the Shreveport area where this tragedy took place, kicked off the America Reads the Bible initiative that will be a week-long effort. I believe will conclude, it's 12 hours a day, that is going to conclude Saturday. It started yesterday, and it will conclude Saturday. Over 500 people coming together. We have a delegation of folks from AFA participating. I was invited to participate. Unfortunately, I had a prior commitment. By the time I was notified of the America Reads the Bible effort, I'd already committed to another engagement. But we will have others from American Family Radio and American Family Association who will be participating in it. And this is right. This is appropriate. This is appropriate. And this is something that should be done. And it's something that I don't believe has ever been done in our nation's history, where the entire Bible was read through from Genesis to Revelation with the national focus and attention that this has been afforded. I'm grateful for it. I think it's appropriate as we're approaching the 250th anniversary of our Declaration of Independence for this to happen. But my prayer is that this would not merely be, And I know because I know so many of the people that are participating in it. I know many of the people who are participating in it are doing so out of 100% sincerity. I know that. But my prayer is that this won't merely be a moment that is performative, but that there is a sobriety and a gravity that comes to rest in our nation in light of this. I pray that it will be something akin, and you know, some might say, oh, Abe, that's pie in the sky type of thinking. Well, so be it. But I pray it will be akin to what Josiah experienced when the book of the law was discovered. Think about that, in the temple. Go figure. The book of the law was discovered in the temple. And Josiah was grieved when he heard the words of God read aloud to him. The way he tore his clothes and said, wait, this is what we're supposed to be about? We have not been living this? We will carry America Reads the Bible coverage right here on American Family Radio. Tune in for that, which will be simply the Word of God being read. I have a clip for you of Speaker Mike Johnson kicking off, contributing to the kickoff of the America Reads the Bible week. It's clip number five. Clip five.
Around the world, we're really grateful to be a part of this. We're here in the Museum of the Bible, in the nation's capital, on this truly historic occasion. You all know that this year we're celebrating the 250th anniversary of the greatest nation in the history of the world. And what we all know and what we cherish is that the founding of that nation was grounded in the Bible, the Word of God. And so we're going to celebrate that here on this appropriate anniversary to read through it all together from start to finish. And it will be, I think, the first time anything like this has happened, at least in the modern era, but it's certainly appropriate during this time.
Praise God for that, man. I praise God for that. Guys, this is what we need. This is what we need. I've been sharing on this show. The scripture teaches us that a war horse is a false hope for salvation. You know, I've been sharing on this show how in Psalm 24, example, when David is writing and after a battle with a contingent that boasted of having the military inventions and innovations of chariots and boasted of the breadth of their horsemen, 40,000, and the Lord allowed victory to come to David and the nation of Israel. And it led David to pen in the psalm, some trust in chariots, some trust in horsemen, but we trust, oh man, in the name of our God. Guys, we cannot sidestep repentance. I know I have friends, dear friends, who I love dearly. They have such a focus on our national economics, but I have to ask them, where do you think the idea of private property came from? Where do you think the admonition about refusing to move the ancient boundary stone came from? George Washington told us in his farewell address, in vain would we indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. And you study George Washington's writings, it's clear he's talking about the Christian religion, the Christian faith. And we've become kind of tenderized. You know how you tenderize meat over time? And I can't, and it's like once you see it, you can't unsee it. I'm looking at the book of Judges, and I'm saying, man, there's two judges in. And the Lord is recording 120 years of Israel's history with two judges. Guys, how long do you think we can continue with having in God we trust as our national motto? And practically, we're trusting in everything but God. Guys, the word of God is true. And I know I may ultimately be a lone man crying in the wilderness, John the Baptist style, you know, but so be it. So be it. So be it. President Trump is going to be a participant in this America Reads the Bible event. He will be reading from 2 Chronicles. The passage that he is going to read is 2 Chronicles chapter 11, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 11 through 22. His message will be pre-recorded. His reading will be pre-recorded, but it will be delivered tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central. So as we begin this show tomorrow, President Trump's reading will be aired. And I have to tell you, man, I'm praying that the Lord would grip him as he reads the scripture. You know, I suspect that he will have read it before he goes to the recording. I pray that he's gripped by it. The passage that he's going to read includes, you know, God's, if the people of God, would confess and repent. It's included right there in the text. I mean, I can pull it up. But I pray that he's gripped by it, and I pray that our nation is gripped by it. And I know this is kind of a favorite amongst so many different people, you know, but it was what the Lord presented and Solomon espoused as the temple was being dedicated. And Solomon was seeking the Lord as to what should happen if the people of Israel fall off. We have to remember that context. And the text says this: thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house. All that Solomon had planned, this is what President Trump will be reading tomorrow. All that Solomon had planned to do in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he successfully accomplished. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When, not if, notice that, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Guys, this is what President Trump will be reading. You want to talk about a golden age for America? You want to talk about how Mr. Ice Cream Man, oh, he tried to destroy the country. Turns out to close the border. We didn't need the path. We have a hope. All we needed was a new president. You want to have a golden age for America? Sound this about throughout our nation. Guys, if we want to see a golden age in America, God's people who are called by his name must pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. Guys, that's the order of the day. We can try to speed past confession and repentance in order to enjoy God's blessing. But if you study the scripture, you know that is not the way. That is not the way. So again, I'm encouraged. I'm grateful for America Reads the Bible. Thank you for the team that put it together and Bunny Pounds working to put this into place. But Lord, let it not be a performative phenomenon. Let it not be a showpiece. Which again, I'm not saying that it is, and I don't think that it is. I know too many of the people that are participating, and I know they're sincere. But I'm looking at the things. Scores of children are being born out of wedlock. Did you guys see the video over the weekend? And I should have brought this clip out. I didn't plan to talk about this, which is why I didn't. But you have some dude, I think he's a songwriter in Nashville or whatever, and he describes himself as a homosexual, and he's with another man. And they've apparently paid some woman to rent her womb, so that they could have a child. And basically, the homosexual dude is playing with this little six-month-old baby, saying, what do you want? And the little baby's going, mama, mama. The little baby's going, mama. And these grown men are laughing at the child. There's no mamas here. It's like, yo, that's funny. That's funny. There's no quote-unquote mamas in living with them. So where does this baby get this idea, this little child? And forgive me if I have the age of the child wrong. But this child, what did this child learn to cry out for mama? You want to know where it came from? God hardwired it into that baby. Yet these grown men will laugh. Oh, no mama for you. No mama for you. How much talk, how much ink has been spilled? How much airtime has been given? Do I even need to talk about a civil war that's been fought to address the transatlantic slave trade, but now we're going to bring it back? We're going to play Rent-A-Womb for money? Remember the case out of California where another homosexual couple hired this woman to be a surrogate and the woman, I think, drank alcohol or something? They're like, nah, we don't want that baby no more. You're fired. You got to kill that baby. Just like it ain't nothing. Like it's like nothing. And then do we even need to talk about? And there's some people that talk about, oh, it's bad strategy. Man, get out of here with all of that. Roe versus Wade is overturned. The abortion rates decreased? No. We'll opt away from surgical murdering of the children to murder the children with pills. And talk about we're a Grey Poupon, pinky extended, civilized society. How? How is that anything but barbaric? And then I mentioned earlier this divergence between America's young men turning towards faith and America's young women, they ain't turning towards faith. And you want to know one of the major reasons why? Because they know the scripture condemns baby murder. But they've been inundated with this notion that women's empowerment includes you being able to live lascivious lives. And you want to be just as committed to fornication and able to eliminate the natural consequence of physical intimacy. So because faith requires you to relinquish your idol of baby murder for Chelsea Clinton prescribed profit and financial remuneration. And that'll keep you away from the Lord. Guys, the sin has risen over our heads. It's risen over our heads. Remember the stories I've been sharing with you? That deviant people want the right to tell five-year-olds about deviant lifestyles. Murder. We talk about crime rates, but we don't talk about what causes crime. It's the desperate, it's the disparate and devious and wicked heart of man. Repentance is what is necessary, guys. And I don't know if we recognize the urgency of the moment.
Learning University.
That wasn't stereo right there, fellas.
That's jumbled.
We were struggling.
The bumblebee was called the humblebee. Is that true?
Chicken legs are also called drumsticks.
Yeah, that's not a good ice cream flavor. They've got some little tiny saddles that they put on those dragons. Unfortunately, you can only ride them once.
Because then they turn around and take your leg off.
Hey, Andrew, you want to ask
it? I'm so excited about getting on. I missed my exit.
Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
Trump a doctor? This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. On his social media account last week, President Trump posted an AI image of himself dressed in a white robe and red sash with glowing hands touching the forehead of a man in need of healing. Public outrage was swift for the obvious representation of Trump as Christ. Trump deleted the post but said the image simply portrayed him as a doctor healing the nation. The president has implemented many policies Christians support, but he, and we all, need truth tellers around us, reminding us to be vigilant against pride. As the Bible says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before stumbling. Hear our most recent program at thechristianworldview.org and then join us this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. I mean, here's an example of what I'm talking about. So in Washington, D.C., I'll be there actually later this week. Lieutenant Matthew Maul, he's a 23-year veteran of the Metropolitan Police Department in D.C. There was all kinds of fanfare and aplomb to celebrate the first openly homosexual head of the Metropolitan Police Union. Metropolitan Police Department Police Union, right? And now it's, and you know, you're hearing about this, you know, because what's generally understood to be conservative outlets are covering it. But the same people that you know, blew the trumpet and all that kind of stuff, you can't hear nary a peep from them. And why is that? Because Maul was the product, or not, I won't say the product, but he's been arrested. He's been arrested for child pornography. And he was a product of an investigation that even the local PD didn't even know was happening because the feds were leading it. It was a sting operation where he had been having extended, explicit conversations with a person he believed to be a 15-year-old boy. Mm-hmm. You ever saw that show How to Catch a Predator? Basically, they how to catch a predator. This dude, that's what happened. And you know how they arrested him? You know how they arrested him? He showed up at the spot where he was supposed to hook up with the 15-year-old boy that he knew was 15. Here's a short clip on it. Clip four. Go.
Lieutenant Matthew Maul has been on the D.C. Police Department for 23 years, most recently assigned to the Special Operations Division. 10 years ago, Maul sat down with News 4 after being elected as the first openly gay chairman of the D.C. Police Union. On Tuesday, Maul was arrested in Harford County, Maryland, and charged with sexual solicitation of a minor and solicitation of child pornography. According to these just-released charging documents, prosecutors allege that Maul met who he thought was a 15-year-old boy on Reddit and began a sexually explicit series of text exchanges that lasted for several weeks, during which time prosecutors say Maul sent sexually explicit pictures of himself to the person he thought was a 15-year-old boy, but in fact was a Harford County Sheriff's deputy.
Now we can play stupid and win stupid prizes if we want, and let's just cut right through the fat and get right to it. I know it's politically incorrect to point out what's true, but what is true? That this whole phenomenon of adult males seeking out and abusing minors, I know the culture wants you to believe, oh, that's not a feature, that's just a bug. But can I tell you something? That's been a part of homosexual culture for how long? People fail to recall how one of the primary participants in early so-called gay pride celebrations was the NAMBLA organization. And they were allowed to march in the streets where Harvey Milk was the mayor in San Francisco, because the NAMBLA name was an acronym for the North American Man Boy Love Association. I know that makes people uncomfortable. It makes me uncomfortable even thinking about it, let alone saying it. But let's be real. Pederasts. And you don't even have to really speculate about it at all. There's all kind of data that used to be readily available. But following the book After the Ball and the whole public relations campaign to where you can't find a show that doesn't include a homosexual character, and homosexual character is always the wisest, the smartest, the coolest. Very rarely did a homosexual character have any negative features at all in any of this public consumption media. Guys, that's all programming. That's all programming. Who do you think are the ones behind the push to have pederasty and pedophilia reclassified as, oh, it's just another sexual orientation? So you celebrate this when they hired him, and when he gets the promotions, everything is a huge deal. But now he's been arrested soliciting sex from who he thought was a boy, a little boy, and now it's all everybody. Don't say anything. It's sick, man. It's sick. It's sick, and in light of the bankruptcy that is gripped our nation generally, and I point out these things, man, John Adams warned us. He said if we continue to have this external reputation of being a type of nation where we're virtuous and we're all of these things, but inside a nation we're rioting and all kinds of immorality, our nation will become the most miserable habitation. And he said, why? Why? Because there are no governments that are sufficient to contend with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. He said that the unbridled human passions will go through our Constitution, will shred our Constitution as a whale goes through a net. And guys, this is what we're witnessing. He concluded those remarks by saying, because our form of government is only effective for religious and moral people. It is wholly inadequate to the governance of any other. Why do you think there's such fervent efforts to turn our government into something else? And I'm not sitting here saying this is a new effort. I want you to chart the scope of what has happened. There's a reason why Woodrow Wilson and the regressives came in and said, the first thing we got to do, we got to get rid of this idea of appealing to natural rights and nature's God and this notion of inalienable rights and this idea that government at its highest efficacy should be limited. We got to get rid of that. Because Woodrow Wilson was applying into the American context the ideology of Gramsci that he wrote in his prison notebooks. We'll never be able to overthrow a society rooted in a Christian foundation. So in order to overthrow that society, it must be severed at the root. It has to be entirely cut from what it was founded to be. Do y'all see what I'm... Do you see what's happened to our country? It's not an immediate, robust, confrontational broadside. It's death by a thousand cuts. Just a little leaven here. A little sleep and a little slumber. Oh, you believe in the Bible? That's so passe. That's so old school. Only the intellectually feeble could believe in something so ridiculous. Like what? Like amoeba to monkey to man? That's surely grounded in logic. We have our own scientific method that says that in order for the scientific method to be applicable, that the stimuli must be measurable, observable, and repeatable. And ain't nobody ever measured or observed no amoeba, the monkey, the man. Yet you got all these people running around here waxing as if they're smart, and none of them ever seen it. But, you know, because science. You know, the same science. They say, yeah, let's mutilate children. And then the Swedes and the Nords come back and say, not bad idea, bad idea. No, we're not mutilating babies no more. We shouldn't do that. Oh, okay. The same science keeps telling me that Pluto is and it is not a planet. That science. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying. Science has value, but it doesn't usurp God's holy word. What is wrong with us? We become so advanced that we have a life tenured Supreme Court justice that don't know what a woman is. And has the audacity when a case comes before her, guys, this is how this practically works out. A case comes before her when you have a Katie Childs in Colorado who says, listen, I'm a counselor. If a child comes to me saying that they have unwanted sexual attraction, my job is to help the child achieve the child's dreams in consultation with the parents. But Colorado say, nah, you can't do that. No, no. They'll pass a law. No, bad, Katie, bad. You can't help a child. What?
Trans.
It was fluid, right? Gender is fluid. Ain't y'all saying it flows? It was TLC who said don't go chasing waterfalls, huh? Colorado saying you can chase the waterfalls as long as you're chasing in one direction. And the case has to get to the Supreme Court to say if you can help them to go against their nature and to violate God's order, why can't you help them be consistent with nature? And that same Supreme Court justice who don't know what a woman is like, nah, you can't do that. Man, come on. Guys, repentance is the order of the day, man. I want to give you this data. And this is the result of a Gallup poll that was released last week. And basically, it's chronicling with empirical data a trend that many of us have seen. And what the data is showing, what the data is showing that between 24 and 25, there was a 14% increase, showing 42% of young men ages between the ages of 18 and 29 years old that they find religion to be very important to them in their lives, which is a diversion from the trends that preceded in the years following. And here's the thing. This upward trend in religiosity is largely not occurring in any other demographics, not at the same rate. The only other demographics that are experiencing an increase are all in men. So the men ages 18 to 29 have experienced a 14% increase, where 42% of men ages 18 to 29 years old are saying religion is very important to them. Men ages between the ages of 30 and 49 saw a 5% increase over the same time span, and men ages 50 to 64 saw a 3-point increase. That's not happening among our women, according to the data. It's not happening according to our women. You have young men, for example, 21-year-old Mr. Goobzer explained that, quote, what I was really looking for and what I'm still looking for is purpose. That's what he said. I'm looking for purpose. Now, there's a reality that our society has become overtly hostile toward men, using extreme examples of abuse and then papering all of masculinity with that, describing masculinity as a whole as toxic. It's like, man, come on, man, don't be stupid. What you have just identified are things that are extreme in abuses, but that's not the way that most men function. Not even remotely close. But it's a part of a demonically inspired, a feminization of society to try to push masculinity to the margins. You know, except unless you have women becoming more masculine. Of course, that's all cool, you see. from the cut of the pants all the way to... You know, it should be. Ezra said, man, I can't even lift up my head. I'm so ashamed of what we become. Do you realize some of the top podcasts in our country are women talking about the nasty stuff that women do sexually? Do you realize that? Do you realize that? When I did the show on what's her name? Aisha Curry's remarks. Guess what she was on? One of those nasty podcasts. You know, she should never be president of the Remix. She couldn't find a way to any podcast, but somehow she was able to create a fake studio in a hotel in D.C. to go on the same nasty podcast. Why do you think all these people going on the same nasty podcast? Because it's popular. Because it's popular. You have men who have been rendered. They call some of the men in our society incels. Involuntarily celibate, that's what they call them. In the basement with the video games and the pornography. Wasting away and then having society tell men that you're toxic. The best thing you could do is come out and to be a testosterone-laden female. That's what we need in society. I talked to some young men. This is anecdotal, of course. This is not the product of any study. But I talked to a young man, to several young men, and one of the young men I was telling him, man, you do realize it's your job. If you recognize that God is calling you to be a husband and you want to be a husband, it's your responsibility to prepare yourself and be fortified in such a way so that you would not compel your wife to have to work outside of the home to generate revenue for your family. Now, I'm not trying to tell you what you need to do. God will lead you to work out your family as you need to, but you need to be prepared to carry the responsibility for your family. You should have saw the look in his face like, what? Are you serious? When we used to understand, that was like, you know, you wake up in the morning, you have some eggs, That's from OJ. Men provide. Usually, we used to understand that. Guys, our nation is in a far more desperate condition than I believe the majority of us recognize. I think a lot of us recognize that some things are off, but we don't recognize why it's off. That's what I'm driving toward. We want to trim around the periphery of the challenges without coming face to face with the fact that it is me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. The sin has eclipsed our heads, folks. And we cannot expect the world to lead and communicate in this, the necessity of us turning to our Lord in repentance.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.